Knowledge is the fuel that powers intelligent buying and selling. So get a quick recharge with me, Ron Edwards, Master Sommelier and Director of Wine Education for Winebow, Fine Wine, and Spirits.
Welcome back to WineSmart. Today we're going to talk about the region of Vinha Verde, that fabulous northwest area of Portugal that is known for slightly spritzy, low to moderate alcohol wines that are usually white, marvelously refreshing, and very much in line with what's in vogue today and what is trendy today. But I'm going to start this episode with a disclaimer. I don't normally say this, but I definitely have to admit to this one. I find Portuguese a really difficult language to mimic, and I apologize in advance to all who speak the language for any and all pronunciations of grapes, regions, and cities that follow. I've tried to find pronunciations to help me, but these should not be adopted by you, my audience. There you go. My French is bad, my Portuguese is terrible. Vinha Verde is the largest DOP in Portugal. It shares the exact boundary as the Minho, IGP, and its southern border is a combination of the Douro River Valley and the mountains that form the south side of the valley. So there is a little bit of Vinha Verde on the south side of the Douro River. The northern boundary is the Minho River that separates Spain from Portugal. On the north bank is Rias Baixas. To the east is the range of mountains that separates the Atlantic coast of Portugal from the interior. And so what you have is this sort of amphitheater feel that is created between the mountains and the ocean, with no buffer in general to the Atlantic influence throughout the region. Now, there are some places inside the region that have limited Atlantic influence, but in general, the area is cool and rainy by winemaking region standards. The center of the region is about 364 kilometers, that's 226 miles, north of Lisboa, Lisbon, and 55 kilometers, that's about 34 miles, north of the actual city of Porto, famous for, of course, the port lodges and all of the major houses that sell the world's ports. So I already mentioned that the entire region is open to the Atlantic Ocean, but what also helps the Atlantic influence reach the interior are the many rivers that run from east to west, and the valleys more or less run towards the ocean. And like in many other places in the world, when that happens, those river valleys act as funnels for pulling in Atlantic air, which means that even further inland, those valleys will experience a full Atlantic effect, which gives you kind of the right conditions to create the image that comes into our mind when we say the words Vinho Verde. And verde means green, so green wine, yes, but it's also about a green, lush landscape. The wine style that we expect from this area is very much a reflection of this cool, more or less rainy climate, in that they have lower levels of ripeness than many areas of the world, regularly seeing wines in that 10% range. Their wines are vibrant and fresh, full of bright acidities and tart palm fruits. And then the reds that come from here are very different than what modern people think of as red wine, because they're more herbal and prickly, and they really reflect the nature of these cool climates and the indigenous grapes. As a matter of fact, let's go ahead and get into the indigenous grapes now. And Vinha Verde, thankfully, focuses on those. I don't know which international varietals would really work in this climate anyway. But let's start with the white grapes, because most of the wine coming to us from Vinha Verde is white. The first and foremost high-quality grape is Albarinho. And Albarinho is the same grape as across the border in Rias Baixas, Albarinho. It's one of the two highest quality grapes for the region. We know what this grape tastes like. It has that broad spectrum fruit profile of everything from citrus to stone fruits to tropical, depending on how ripe it gets. But it still maintains that beautiful freshness with a little bit of floral and a little bit of spice. The next grape, which is common across the coastal areas of Portugal and even into the Douro Valley, is Arinto. It has this citrus orchard fruit drive. It can be light all the way to weighty and very ageable because of the low pH that this grape brings to the table. And in some cases, you'll see it oak aged and made into something that reminds us of oak aged Chablis. And in other cases, it's just light, fresh, and fruity. And in Vino Verde, it starts in that light, fresh, and fruity and moves in through the mid-weight in most cases. The next white grape of note is Avesu. It has this orange citrus to peach drive, usually has a little bit of an almond note. It can be a little salty, and it is also quite ageable. The next one is Azalm. This grape is lemon-lime to grapefruit-driven and has mineral notes. And now I find a grape that we see bottled by itself relatively often in Vinho Verde, and we also see it across the river in Rias Baixas as a blending grape, and that is Loureiro. It's textured, it has stone fruits and citrus, tart through tropical. It has some floral notes. A lot of people associate jasmine or rose. It's a beautiful grape, and it makes some really lovely wines. And the last one we're going to bring up is Trajadura, the same grape as across the border in Spain as Trejadura. And it has this green apple, peach, pear combination. It has a round texture and can be a really lovely grape on its own, but you normally see it blended. When we talk about the red grapes, the first one we're going to talk about is Espadeiro. And this is a grape that is best suited to rosé because it doesn't have a lot of anthocyanins for coloring. So even when you make a red wine out of it, it kind of comes off dark pink. Then we have Padeiro. And Padeiro is also one of those that goes from light pink to dark pink coloring. Really good wine for rosé. Then there is Vignal. It is deeper, more intense in color. It's really well suited to making a true red wine. It's got these black forest fruits, firm tannins, things that we would normally associate with a red table wine. Then there are three others to mention that are used throughout the region, usually in blending: Alvarejo, Borassal, and Abadiano. Those three red grapes, you'll see them in the listings and blendings. I didn't get specific information on exactly what to expect from them. It's probably out there for you to look it up if you desire. There is enough variation of climactic influence and Atlantic influence that they've now divided the region into 9 subregions, and they're all official. The most noted, especially historically, and there's a lot of information about this particular region to go up and look the history if you wish, and that is Montsalm and Melgaço region. It's in the north. It's right across the river from Condado de Tea in Spain. It's planted to Albariño, almost exclusively for white, and almost exclusively Alvarejo and Pedral for reds. It has cold, wet winters and warm, dry summers. If you know what Rias Baixas tastes like, you have a pretty good idea of what to expect from this region. We're going from north to south. The next region south is Lima. And Lima is one of 3 regions, Lima, Cabudu, and Ave. All 3 of those regions are coast to mountains. They stretch all the way through, and so they have a variation on the theme. But in Lima, you are going to find whites focused on Loureiro with support from Trajadura and Arinchu. In high Lima, up into the mountains where you have less Atlantic influence, you will find wines that are red, made from Vignal and Borassal. The next region south is Cavadu, and the vineyards are focused on the valley of the river of the same name, so that Atlantic influence gets pulled almost through the entire region. And because of that, they focus on Arinchu, Loureiro, and Trajadura primarily. A few reds that are there are made, just like in Lima, from Vignal and Borassal. The third region that reaches from ocean to mountains is Ave. And again, you see a lot of the same characteristics here, and so they focus on the same grapes: Arinchu, Loureiro, and Trajadura. Now we're going to move into Baztu. Baztu is the most inland region for all of Vinho Verde. It's sheltered from the Atlantic air, has a cold, rainy winter, hot, dry summer, and because of that, it favors the later ripening grapes and is a good place to grow some red grapes. So the grapes of note here and the best versions of Azalm come from here. That's for whites. And then Espadeiro is common for the reds. The next region south is Sousa. It is a transitional area that has a little bit of Atlantic influence, a little bit of interior influence. And because of that, it allows you to have a broader range of grapes. It works with white grapes of Arinchu, Loureiro, Trajadura, but it also has the ability to ripen Azal, which is a late ripening grape, and Avesu. And then you will also see it focused on making some red wines here, and the red wines are made from Borassal and Vignal, with Espadeiro making rosés. The next region south is Amarante. Amarante is protected from the Atlantic, it's blessed by elevation, it has above average temperatures, and has the warmest summers of the entire area. And so it focuses on the late ripening whites and reds. You're going to find a lot of Azal and Avesu, as well as the Amaral and Espadeiro with Vignal for the reds. Next south is Bayang, which borders the Douro to the east and actually lies on both sides of the Douro River in the valley. It has warm, dry summers that allow later ripening grapes like Azal, the very best grape here, and Aveiro for the whites, and then Espadeiro and a new one that I haven't mentioned so far, which is Abadeano. The last region to talk about is Paiva. Paiva is on the south side of the Douro River completely, and it has both the influence of the Atlantic and the interior, so another transitional area. It's capable of making fully mature reds out of Amaral and Vignal, but the whites it focuses on are Arinto, Loureiro, and Trajadouro. The most commonly found style of Vinho Verde in our country especially is the traditional slightly spritzy refreshing white wine with maybe a touch of residual sugar. They're generally, in today's world, made into still wines and then a little bit of CO2 is added at bottling. But there's also still available out there the traditional spritzy red wines where they bottle it as malic transformation is finishing, and therefore they have a CO2 residual, and they're prickly and a touch tannic and herbal, and they can be great food wines, but they're unusual. If you're going to introduce them to people, you need to have them with an open mind. They also make Vindimia Tardia, or late harvest wines, and those have at least 45 grams per liter residual sugar. And then on top of all that, you find modern wines that are still and even 100% varietally labeled, like Albariño. And if it's going to be 100% labeled Albariño, either has to be from the sub-district so labeled of Monção and Melgaço, or it has to be labeled IGT Minho. There's also varietally labeled Loureiro wines out there that offer this beautiful soothing texture and a blend of citrus and orchard fruits. There are those making oak-age examples of Arinto and Albariño. And then there are wineries pushing for a more modern but true to indigenous varietal red wines from the warmer interior areas like Amarante. There's a good deal to love about Vinho Verde in the modern world, so go out and explore it today. Check out the show notes for links that will help you get started. Until next time.